Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Kelly Davio. Among the great promises of biosimilar therapies is their ability to not only reduce costs for patients and healthcare systems, but to make room in budgets for spending on other high-cost drugs, especially in treating cancer. This week on Not So Different, my guest is Ali McBride. Dr. McBride is a pharmacist who serves as the clinical coordinator for hematology and oncology at the University of Arizona Cancer Center. He's also the lead author of a recent study that showed that using biosimilar filgrastim can expand patients' access to treatment with obinutuzumab. Dr. McBride joined me by phone from Arizona to discuss this study and more. So, Dr. McBride, you authored a study that showed that using biosimilar filgrastim can expand access to obinutuzumab. Can you describe for our listeners a little bit about the study and some of the specifics of what you found?
I think this is a good question in regards to utilization. With the introduction of biosimilars, we expect to increase access not only to, you know, certain drug therapies in one class research, but also a case comparison of other drugs out there. And in this case, we had used a biosimilar to decrease overall costs, which is the goal of biosimilar implementation in the U.S. market as well as the global market. And then in so doing, what we do is lower overall healthcare costs. And if we can do that, we can address and also decrease spending on these therapies to increase access to other therapies. And here we use obinutuzumab as an example. In some cases, that could be, you know, research drug therapies, which you can implement as well through both studies and also decrease overall healthcare utilization. Or in other cases, this may also be attributed to utilization of other therapies to expand access in the market. In our study, what we had done is we had looked at utilization of biosimilar growth factor in this case, and what we had kind of developed, or in this case modeled, was the ability to use a biosimilar that would then decrease the cost of the overall drug therapy cost. And that includes both supportive care or also standard chemotherapy. And by doing so, we actually are able to show cost savings, which can then be utilized for obinutuzumab in this case setting. And that was really a brief summary of our study. It was a model-based study which we're trying to utilize decreased overall healthcare costs to improve access for improved overall healthcare value for the U.S. healthcare market. I think as time goes on and we see more biosimilars, we'll likely see similar-based studies where we're looking at these cost changes to decrease our overall healthcare budget burden, which is what we're seeing by FDA with Dr. Gottlieb and what he's trying to attribute to, but also the long-term utilization, how that will overall decrease costs, as expected by what we're seeing in terms of overall healthcare cost values across the board.
When you think about anti-cancer biosimilars, the trastuzumabs and bevacizumabs that will eventually make their way to market, what kinds of cost savings do you think are possible with those products?
Yeah, I think that's the golden question, and I wish I can, you know, wear my hat, pull out the golden ticket, and be able to give you a clear answer for that. Unfortunately, I can't. What we expect to see on these overall decreases in costs, you know, are within certain margins, and we don't know what those will come out with at that time. But we'll likely see a 15% to 20% margin decrease. There may be maybe lower costs initially based on competition. We do expect larger competition in the trastuzumab and rituximab space here shortly, as well as Neulasta. So there may be even higher decreases in cost percentages with biosimilars coming to the market as competition rises. Now, we've seen a number of studies come out, or even articles published, that kind of range in terms of the overall decreased cost of biosimilars. Again, biosimilars do carry some hefty R&D development costs. And of course, pharmaceutical companies will try to actually regain those costs overall. Now, with what we see, the 15 to 20% reduced rate in the actual competitive market will probably be what we kind of see the introductory area to, but also many healthcare systems, institutions, and also even sites may decide to actually look at those overall costs to see what the expenditures are to actually switch from an originator product to a biosimilar product, or even switching between biosimilar products based on costs and also contracting as time goes on.
What are some of the considerations that a health system might make in deciding whether to stick with an originator or switch to a biosimilar?
So, and that's another one of those kind of moving targets in terms of costs. We have heard, you know, through literature and also many discussions and presentations where the cost will be a driver. For example, if there's minimal cost reductions in these biosimilars coming to market, and specifically one different area, one disease state, we expect that if it's minimal reduction in costs, many sites will not switch. Not because there's a decrease, you know, cost overall, but because the workflow implementation to switch between a originator and a biosimilar product, also to address IT issues, making sure the right drug is implemented into the pathway going through P&T committee. But also don't forget, if we're looking at chemotherapy regimens, a lot of sites use electronic medical records for implementation of these chemotherapy orders. Switching every single chemotherapy order will take a lot of time and also resources in order to address those, and also checkpoints as well to make sure the chemo orders are correct. So there will be a large expenditure on health systems as well. So that's going to be one of those key pivot points, what that price margin is. If they're seeing a large decrease, I think the switch will occur. If there's small decreases in overall cost savings, they probably may not occur. In fact, what we do expect, especially as the next 2 or 3 years kind of, develops, is the fact that with these new medical records, we may see the regulation or interpretation of how biosimilars will come into play for oncology care models. And where that actually plays a bigger role is for an oncology care model site, an OCM site practice, where you have to reduce costs by a certain percentage, switching to a biosimilar makes sense. In fact, it pushes or drives institutions to do that much quicker to get that reduced cost savings for OCM-based metrics. And I think we're going to see a lot of these discussions come up shortly as OCM practice sites will utilize biosimilars to reduce their overall cost burden with the increasing cost of drug therapies.
Are you already starting to see more of the oncology care model or OCM practices using the available biosimilar filgrastim or the follow-on filgrastim?
With OCM practices moving to the filgrastim Sandoz or in some cases the follow-on biologic with TBO filgrastim, I think we can and will see quick implementation. We've already seen a lot of practices move to that already, and that was prior to the implementation of OCM. This is just in the learning curve within that first year. But we're seeing more and more sites switching over, more because of the cost savings associated with the biosimilar or the follow-on biologic. Just to note, the TBO filgrastim product in the U.S. did not go through the biosimilar pathway. It actually went through another pathway for approval and thus doesn't carry all of the indication as a biosimilar product. In Europe, that same product is considered a biosimilar. So just a FYI in that discussion in regards to the biosimilar and the follow-on biologic available in the U.S. market right now. So for those instances, what we expect is that biosimilars will have a bigger role, especially as we see the emergence of these therapies come up. And probably this year to next year will be the year of the biosimilar market. In fact, with the number of new therapies being logged into FDA at this point in time, we will probably actually see a much larger evaluation of these if there's multiple players in the market for the same drug therapy space.
Speaking of more competitors getting onto the market, 2018 has been slow in terms of biosimilar approvals by FDA. Some stakeholders are discouraged by that, and some others see the FDA as being appropriately rigorous about these drugs. Where do you stand on the slow rate of biosimilar approvals to date?
So I think in any case, you know, the goal of FDA, any type of drug regulation, and even actually administering drugs, is, of course, safety for the patient, but also efficacy. So in regards to the CRLs or the complete response letters, I don't know what's actually in the letter or, you know, what's happening in regards to that discussion, but there must be some points of contention that FDA had brought up or evaluated during the process of the actual biosimilar. And I'm sure as soon as they're received, responses will be provided. Now, this may be a setback for several companies, which I think it probably would be if you're expecting a launch here shortly, but I think it actually shows that FDA is providing key content pieces to make sure they're aligned with both similar efficacy and safety profiles for these drug therapies. And I think it's actually better to be more cautious early on in the stages as we move to therapeutic biosimilars, where we have efficacy which can show curative intent, especially when they come to the market. So I think this is, it's a good pause for everybody, and hopefully what comes out of these complete response letters will allow other companies coming into the marketplace to provide similar information so that this won't happen or hinder these biosimilars from coming to the U.S. marketplace.
Thanks for being with us for this latest installment of Not So Different. Join us next time for more insights from leaders in this constantly changing landscape of biosimilar therapies. Until then, visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.